looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome everyone to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. And as we go into today's show, first of all, I want to invite everybody to come find me on Facebook. It's Lisa Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, and just find me there because, and this is why it's extra important today. As I always post about my guests who are coming up and what the show is going to be about, there's a show description and it lets you know. However, I'm really feeling so connected with my guests more and more on such deeper levels, and it really affects my life because, as you know, we shine a spotlight on authors, and I read these books, and I get so pulled into their story and their message, and it literally does affect me. Throughout my day, I'm thinking about it. I'm involved. I'm connecting on an energetic level. And my posts now are starting to reflect this. And I have to say that today's guest her story very specifically has thrown me in a different direction than I'm not usually going, because I'm very lighthearted and on the positive or optimistic end. This is exactly what she is, but in an area that is so heavy and deep that I had no understanding of it before. But after reading her book, this is so important that today's show exists, because there's so many people who were in her situation or are in a situation or might be in her situation that will have tremendous value and help. And why I'm going on and on about this without telling exactly what it is, I just want to share that finding the meaning of life, no matter how short or long it is something that I've thought about it casually and lightheartedly. However, wow, does our guest today, her name is Pamela LaRoquette. Oh my God, I say, Pamela, I'm so sorry. I know you're on the line there. I'm so all over myself right now that I'm getting so emotional even doing this intro. And because I'm actually going to need your support, Pam, I'm bringing you on right now because I'm lightheaded. I'm actually getting dizzy thinking about this because now I'm choking up and I didn't think I was. So hello, everybody. Welcome, Pamela. She's going to take over just for a moment.
Hi, everybody. My name is Pamela LaRoque, and I am the author of Riken's Journey, and I'm thrilled to be on today. Lisa is quite an extraordinary, wonderful person, and I'll be referring to her forever as one of my earth angels here to help me along my own path.
Oh, Pamela, thank you for doing it. I'm getting these spots, and I'm not even joking. I'm sitting there with my little girl baby cat in the room, and, I just got choked up. Everyone, I want to share with you that Pamela's actually worked so hard through something so difficult of losing in life form her baby as an infant of 56 days old. Anybody who's going through this or has gone through this, she's really come such a far way of finding that true meaning. And if family, you could start by sharing, when somebody picks up your book, Riken's Journey, you start actually by talking about the birth of your first child, your first son.
Yes, and I can kind of explain. I started writing the story, and it was more centered around Riken at the beginning as what I thought. And I'm part of a book club, and the women that I am with, we had read this other book, and what I listened to their feedback as I was writing the book, and they had said, we didn't know the characters at the beginning of their life. We wish we would have known more about them. We wish we would have known before they met, all these things. And I thought, I should explain where I came from. I want people to connect to me and connect to Brett, connect to maybe where they were at in their life growing up and wanting to, have a career and get married and have a family. And that was the intent.
Okay, that's what, because when I was reading, I thought, wow, I feel like these are my friends now and I know them so well. You certainly did introduce them and share about each one of their stories, because there was loss even surrounding their, like, all woven throughout. There was so much.
Yeah. Loss, you know, and yeah, that's what happened was my, you know, there's loss with grandparents, and then one of my close cousins the year before, like, and that was like a brother to me. And, you know, and then after Caden was born, you know, I had postpartum, and I felt like that was important because that's an issue that, too, is not talked about by women or society.
Yes, and actually, I do want to bring that up right now, actually, if we could, because me not having had children and hearing this, I mean, I just feel for anybody going through anything. So, you know, what you could tell me, you've stubbed your toe, and I feel like this is awful. Let's give you sympathy and compassion, and let's heal you. But I wonder if a lot of people just brush off postpartum, just like we can brush off PMS, brush off this and that, because this is a real chemical experience going on in the body that really can affect the entire process of thinking and feeling.
Yes, it does. And, you know, and I had depression early in my late teen years and early 20s. So I realized after I had Caden, you know, this is depression, but it's even more different because I was so excited to have this baby and I couldn't wait. And it was very overwhelming. I had really bad anxiety. You know, it's kind of, you think what it's going to be wasn't what it was going to be. He didn't love to be outside walking in the sun and the solar. You know, it was like, what's wrong with him? You know, and every time he cried, I felt like, you know, oh my world's crashing down. This poor baby, what am I going to do? And it was just not, I knew it was outside the realm of a new mom. So again, I got involved with a support group, which was, again, I'm a social worker. So I'm a believer in counseling, I'm a believer in support system and support group. And that was very helpful. And I was able to stay off medication. But I got shocked. Yeah, I didn't have to go on medication, although I was in contact with my doctor regularly, and she, you know, she would have said, yes, you need medication, and I would have listened if I, you know, needed it. And there are times you do need it, and I'm not discounting that. But for me, I was able to still nurse. I was really did a clean eating diet, tried to stay away from sugar and, you know, caffeine, and lots of fruits and vegetables, lots of walking and exercising, and then of course weekly counseling to talk and vent and get those emotions out.
Oh, and that's, see, there you go, and that's what we just talked about. I was kind of nervous, actually. I think I manifested that to you before, saying, oh my gosh, this is the first time I'm really scared about getting emotional. And you're like, you know what, that's okay, because that's how we do release and get these out. So I want to share with everybody, first of all, so Pamela, you had a wonderful, healthy first baby boy. You know, yeah, wonderful, and he's still with us, and we're good, and life is happy. However, it was just 2.5 years after that. That's when you got pregnant with Riken, and there was many scares along the way. Did you want to share about the first scare that you had?
Sure, I can. You know, it's typical in Saskatchewan, you'd go for your ultrasound at 20 weeks, and we went, and everything was fine. Nothing was said at the time because, of course, the techs can't tell you what's going on. And then when I went for the checkup the week after, the doctor said, you know, Pam, and Brett didn't come with me this time. This is the one and only time he's never come to the doctor's appointment. And she said, you know, they're concerned that the baby has trisomy 18. And we have to wait 8 weeks to find this out because you've just missed, you know, being able to measure the head circumference. But there's some other indicators that are good, and then the other indicators that are bad is that there's cysts in the brain, and that's why they're thinking this. And so I didn't go back to work that day. I went back home and had about, you know, we had 8 weeks of waiting to find out if the baby was going to be okay, because the outcome for trisomy 18 is, you know, the baby will pass away before full term or right at full term or giving birth shortly after. Mm-hmm. So that was a scare. And when we did go for the ultrasound, you know, Riken smiled in the womb. And the nurse said to me, I've never seen a baby smile. And, you know, I really felt like that was him saying, I'm okay. And, of course, later on realized, well, you know, it was a beautiful picture and it was a beautiful memory, but, you know, it wasn't what was his life going to be, was that he wasn't going to live long.
So rolled up all right in that alone, I'm imagining, or I'm going to ask you, A, what when you went to 20 weeks and they said, you know what, it's too late to do this measuring of the head. First of all, is there any guilt that you experienced as a mom or as parents with your husband there? Or did you like, no, that wasn't, you know, you, this is what it was. This is the situation and we've got to move forward. And then secondly, for 8 weeks, I mean, how does one even get through 8 weeks?
You know, I know, and it's interestingly, so as I wrote the book, I realized at that time I went on autopilot again. Like, I didn't take any time off. I just took that rest of that afternoon off. My appointment, I think, was at 2, and it was over at 2:30, and I just powered through it, and I just said, no, he's going to be fine, and it'll be fine, and I guess, I didn't have any guilt at that time at all surrounding Riken. Yeah, just, I guess, a bit of fear, like, fear, but then lots of hope, hoping it was going to be okay. And, you know, I was working full time as a social worker. We were found out, you know, we're going to possibly be moving. Brett had gotten a different job. So there was lots going on. It was really quite an adventure, I guess, to say the
least. And I think that was the one thing, is that there's still hope, that you had hope. So if anybody is pregnant and they go for their checkup and they're told that there's a potential of these many things that could go wrong, how could you help them to hang on to hope? Like, what would be helpful for them to have that?
You know, I think it comes down to a faith or a belief system and something greater than yourself, I guess. For me, I believe in God, and at that time I believed in God. I didn't know a lot about angels and stuff, but it was mostly God I would pray to and say, you know, help me make this okay. I think if people have something greater to believe in, would be one thing, faith. The second thing would be a support system. Find someone you can talk to. Find someone, whether it's a friend or a family member, or go for counseling. Just find an outlet for yourself.
And actually, you've taken this even different, done different paths, because as you said, you were a social worker. Are you still practicing social worker, or now you do healing?
I do healing, and I do individual counseling one-on-one. And I do some teaching of the healing work I do. So I do it differently, I guess. The people that come to me, they're very much seeking life purpose. They're seeking to heal. They're very open and willing to just kind of look within and see what they need to resolve and work through, and then, you know, do what they need to do to find joy again and happiness. It's really rewarding for me I call myself a life purpose mentor.
Oh, I love that. And you know, it's funny, when I have heard the term, you know, use the term and talk about the term life purpose, I will tell you that before reading your book, I had a vision of it. And a belief system of my own and a meaning. But since reading your book and reading your story and meeting you, it has a completely different dimension to it. It's crazy.
that's good.
It is. And I just wonder, when people right now are listening, to think about, now I'm going to share how it's kind of deepened for me, and I'm going to ask you how it has for you. So life purpose now, to me, especially, my gosh, when you get to the end of your book, my goodness. Before I would have thought, oh, here it is. I know exactly. It was to me like, what am I supposed to do? And now it's more, who am I supposed to be?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, for me, you know, I think that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing here, is you're helping, you know, someone like me get the message out there. Because it's really hard. It was hard to put the book out there. It's hard to put my life for the world to see. But again, it's the whole ideation for me is, well, if I said I'm going to help, and I better help, because I don't want to come back next lifetime and go through all this again. Right.
And actually, I know I'm jumping a little bit, but when it does come to coming back in the next life, no, I'm not going to go there yet. I was going to jump into it about Riken, but I want to save that for a little bit longer. But when we're talking about coming back, you do believe that, yes, we come back. And at any level, any time frame. And with the situation with Riken. Did you ever, I don't want to ruin the book if anybody hasn't read the story. You know, I'm all excited. I'm trying to think, oh, yes. No. But I want to say, did you guys get a puppy?
We didn't get a puppy. But that's, I talk about that in the second book.
Oh, okay.
The animal lovers are rooting for this dog, right?
Yes. That's so funny. Well, so just, so when we're going through, so you find this out, you have to get through the 8 weeks, and then you go in at 8 weeks, and what happens then?
So, yeah, we go in, and the doctor says, you know, the cysts in the brain are gone, everything's fine, and that's when the baby is smiling at us. It's just, it was just pure, well, it was relief, it was awe, it was, I can't believe everything's okay, this is so exciting, this is so happy. And then it just, life just carried on really quickly from there. We had to move to a different city. My husband was working away at his new job, so I was working full time, and I was pregnant, and I had a toddler, and I sold our house, and then I bought the house, but that was away in another city, and it was just very fast, surreal. It was all going well. I really enjoyed working with the teenagers and families I was working with, but I was looking forward to, you know, our second son being born healthy. So it was good. It was really, life was very good.
So I'm going to set this up because we'll go to commercial in a minute. But so here you are, you've had one successful pregnancy, one successful baby, the family's good, we're married, we're moving, our life is moving on, we're pregnant, we have this huge scare, and then we finally get this relief and we're back to going to be moving along forward. And I want to ask when we come back about the testing, because I wonder, I want to know if, would you continue to get these, would anybody continue testing? Like, what do you think testing does for somebody's state of mind and emotional state going through it? So when we come back, I want to ask your opinion of that.
Okay, sounds good.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here, and I'm going to get this straight. Pamela,
hello.
We're talking with Pamela Larocque. There we go. And, you know,
Larocque,
and I'm so, you know, it's funny because the intro, and I have to tell you, prior to even beginning, I kind of felt this energy swirling around me, and I thought, I better light some sweetgrass. So I did, and just as I'm feeling like my stomach settling, my heart is okay now, the sweetgrass has actually just went out on its own, which is it doesn't usually do. I'm looking at it going, oh, what's, and it's, I think it's because there you go. It says, you know what? You got what you needed. You're all good. Now let's go. And the biggest thing is, because I want to share with listeners now that I'm back here, is that I do want to read the short part of the bio that I meant to read at the beginning. As we are talking to Pamela, she does refer to herself, and she mentioned this, as a life purpose mentor. As she also feels it's a part of her own soul's purpose to help others heal by going within to find the strength to deal with their pain and make peace with their life circumstances. And that would have been really important for me to share at the beginning so everybody knows what we're talking about.
And all good.
Yes. And, you know, as you're using the power of your words by, you know, writing and helping others to find the joy and acceptance, the conscious choice to heal is something that is so big and so important to you. And this ties into my question about testing. I often, you know, a lot of people will say, you know what, this runs in the family, that runs in the family, you should get this test, you should get that tested. And I find it so tricky because in my world, I think, yeah, but if I get it tested and then somebody tells me that I have this and I'm just going to manifest it and make it, and just because the genes say this and that. And what if I made a decision based around some testing that I wouldn't have otherwise made, whether it be to end a pregnancy, to continue with the pregnancy, maybe like all these things. How, having gone through this, how do you feel about testing and that knowledge and just the consciousness of choosing to heal and not heal?
Yeah, I think everybody comes here with their path, and I think there's going to be some individuals who won't test, and there'll be some individuals that will choose to test. And I think everybody has to just go again within and say, you know, what works for me, and, you know, and talk to their partner, what works for us together, because sometimes someone might want to test and then the other partner doesn't want to test, or can you agree? That, you know, there's just so much. So, I guess luckily for me, Brett and I always were on the same page. I don't know how to answer that. I think everybody is such an individual thing, and they've all got their own story because of their own path that they've already kind of walked on. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, some individuals have had family members or family that have had maybe children with something and seen, you know, terrible pain and loss already, and maybe their soul cannot handle that, right? Whereas someone has never experienced any of that, and they're very optimistic, and, you know, they can make lemonades out of any lemon. So we're all so different, and I guess it's the whole thing about judging. We can never judge anybody's thoughts if they choose to test or not test, and just allow everybody just to do their own life and support them. And love. We talked about before the importance of everything always comes back to love.
Right. Yes. And so here, as you've just, you know, heard this great news and you see the smile on Riken's face in the womb, you've continued with love. We're just going to love this baby so much. And then you went through and had a thoroughly smooth rest of the pregnancy.
Yeah. It was an amazing pregnancy. It was really, really well, considering working full-time as a social worker, which, you know, a social worker can be quite a stressful job. And then having a toddler in the move and everything that was going on, selling houses, it really was a good pregnancy.
Okay, so then things are looking good, and then your water breaks, well, kind of, but I'll let people read that in the story.
Yeah, no worries.
And then so off you go, and now you're going to have your baby, and this is it. And I wrote down as a note, there was a lot of firsts that you were so excited to experience. And I think that's where I get so connected, going, oh my gosh, your heart was so filled with, wow, there's going to be so many first this and first that, and his first Christmas, his first stocking, his first time with his brother, his first, all these firsts. And so that's what you go in, and then you have your baby, and then take me from there.
So Riken's born and everything. It was quite an intense delivery. I mean, I had to be induced again, which I had to be induced with Caden. I don't start contracting on my own. My body just, I guess, doesn't want to. So, but this time I went in saying, I want an epidural because of the, you know, I knew, remembered the pain from Caden.
Yeah.
And what had happened was he started coming so quickly that they didn't have time for the epidural. And I went from 5 centimeters to giving birth in 20 minutes. And we found out the next day he had a broken clavicle. And it was just quite an intense delivery. And I remember, you know, it was so painful and really having an out of body experience when he was being born. You know, everything, once he's born, everything seems okay. We have a night together, and then the next day it's when 18 hours later, after he nursed quite a few times, that's when his lips started to turn blue. And he ended up getting admitted to NICU, and at first it was just, no, it's a fast delivery, it's probably brain swelling, which made perfect sense. And then he got progressively worse and worse until they didn't know what was going on, and he's being intubated, and there's a team working around him to keep him alive. And then they're asking, you know, we're signing papers to say, can we please do some spinal taps to get some testing done?
Ooh, yeah. And
you
so
you have to trust the doctors, right? They're your baby's in their hands, and that, you know, it's just a very out of control feeling, and you don't really know what to do besides just listen and do what they're telling you to do.
Right. And at this point, were you thinking, okay, that he does have this genetic issue, or this, now you're realizing it's a totally different thing, or what was
it? We didn't know yet at this time, yeah. So the brain swelling, we thought, well, just the brain swelling, once it comes down, everything will be fine. We're thinking we just got to wait a few days for that. And they're just doing this as a precaution, right, the testing.
Right.
And then it took 10 days to get the results back, and I really did think that when we met with them, everything was going to be fine. Mm-hmm. The chapter, actually, where the doctor tells us about Riken having NKH is on my website at PamelaLaRocque.com. You can read chapter 10, where we're given the news that the doctors are quite positive that he has non-ketotic hyperglycemia. And I remember my world just feeling like, as if in a movie, it's just shrinking, and the world's spinning out of control. And I remember asking, are you saying our baby's going to die? And, you know, they look at us and say, yes.
Mm. And where do you even find that strength at all to just be able to, like, live sitting there in that moment?
You know, again, it's that adrenaline and trust and hope, faith that, like, I always felt like this can't be true. Like, this can't be happening. And then, you know, the doctor said, well, I've only known another case that was 6 months old. And I thought, okay, we have 5.5 months, but I don't know that, I don't really still believe it. But, you know, you kind of have to believe it, but you don't want to believe it. And then, you know, I said, well, I want to get an energy healer in then, because I really wanted to cover all the bases and do anything I could for Riken. And, you know, they never said no. And she came in and worked on Riken for 3 different times over a week, and he got off all the life support and nursed and came home. And, you know, she could tell, because she works on the feet with reflexology, that she said his liver was backed up with medication, which was true. He had tons of medication going through his body. And, yeah, it was amazing. I'm thankful that I followed my intuition and had her come work on him. She was 8 years old at the time.
Yeah, what made you, meaning, like, because, you know, at the time, you know, religious and believing in God, but then all of a sudden said, no, I need to have an energy healer come here. This is very important to me. Where did that come from? Did that just, like, was a message to your brain or your heart? Or?
Yeah, it was. And this grandmother who came, her daughter had worked on me and helped heal me. I had iron supplement poisoning years before, and I just thought, you know, what could I do? And it just came to my head, call her. She will help you.
And she did. And the hospital, I love this. I can only imagine what the hospital, like, I mean, they probably experience a lot of things, what people want to do or need to do to get through things. But I love that there's energy healing work involved in the hip at that time. Did it help? Did she do any energy work on you as well?
No,
or just Riken?
No, just on Riken. Yeah, no. You know, I was quite optimistic. The nurses said, you know, what's going on, this baby's doing better, and you could hear them whispering and just kind of in awe. And I just thought, yeah. And 2 of the other neonatologists were female doctors, and they would say to me, you know, whatever you're doing, Pam, keep doing. He seems to be recovering, you know. And one's like, you know, maybe it's not the neonatal classic form, which is, you know, they don't live long. And, you know, so it was this constant little rays of hope. So, you know, hope played a big part in getting through that time.
And I know this is going to sound like a backwards question, but now knowing the outcome, do you wish that you didn't have so much hope? Would it have been a lesser blow to your heart and soul, or are you so happy?
No,
still
I think hope is what kept me sane. Hope is what kept me in the present. Hope was what, you know, made me, okay, I got to go eat now. I got to nurse, you know, I got to go pump. So it kept me very focused. Okay, this is my routine. This is the structure. This is what I have to do for Riken. He's going to be okay. He's going to be okay. That was my mantra, you know, pumping. It was like praying, and he'll be okay. He'll be okay. Okay, I'm gonna make sure I drink my water. It was just all very, it's like, almost like autopilot again. It's like, I think the body is so sensitive, and then I think that's why we go into shock and autopilot, because some of it, sometimes it's so overwhelming that that's all you can do.
Yeah, it's a protection mode too. Yeah, it puts you in a state like, we've got to do this. We're going to go forward. Now, so as he's getting better, you actually do. You get to take him home. And I know there's a lot of, I'm going in the backwards path, like wondering, like, are you so glad? You're grateful that he was able to come home even for a short time?
Yes. And you know, and again, like, it was such a different mom when he came home. Like, when Caden used to cry, would get all upset, and when Riken only cried when he was hungry, and I was very calm. You know, I'd have to give him a certain medication to make sure that the other medication wouldn't, you know, hurt him internally. So you have to give a medication for a side effect, and then I'd nurse him. And it was, you know, it was there's lots to do, and it was overwhelming, but I just was very calm. And it's just surprising how, you know, peaks and valleys throughout life, sometimes you can kind of hold steady to, oh, yay, there's no postpartum this time. Right, thank God.
Right. In a weird way, it's kind of like in your feelings or words, when you think of what does a conscious choice to heal mean, it sounds like calm, being calm, experiencing that calmness had to be there for you in order for your choice to heal through this.
Yeah, you know, I was very calm when Riken was alive. And then when we went, after he passed away, it was then, you know, PTSD was intense. I was extremely anxious and depressed and overwhelmed, and in a new city and not knowing anyone and feeling the, that's actually what I'm writing about in the second book, feeling this intensity to make sure I help Caden have a healthy life, and how do I get him out in the world and make sure he's, you know, in toddler groups and meeting people, and but I don't want to, and people are going to ask me how many kids do I have, and I gotta, you know, I'm not gonna lie and not tell them about Riken, but that's going to make them uncomfortable. And there was just, you know, there's,
oh my gosh, okay, wow, that was actually, oh my gosh, my brain just went through all panic mode too right now, going, oh my god, what will she say, and how much she's saying, how do you honor that, and is that what you, how does one, I'm going to jump there. How does one respond? How do you respond?
I will. You know, at that time, I would have said, you know, everybody always asks, oh, is this your only child? And I always said, no, I had a son. His name is Riken. He was born this date, and he passed away from this condition. And you know, people look at me with deer in the headlights. They're just frozen, and they don't even know what to say. And I remember this one time I didn't say, you know, yes, I have a second son. And I was guilty and sick for months. And I told myself, I'm never doing that again. I'm never going to make someone feel comfortable and then me carry this guilt and shame. So I'm just going to say it. This is how I'm going to say it. And I don't care anymore.
You know, I'm so glad, in a weird way, I'm so glad that you actually did try it one way different, just to know, say, no, that is not for me. That is absolutely you. And you actually just helped me to feel comfortable, because I've been in a situation where I've asked people, oh, is this your only child, or, you know, those things. And I've got an answer that I've been the deer in the headlights. And I would often go, gosh, why would they say that? They must know that makes other people feel uncomfortable, you know, like going through my mind or trying to think how I would. And so hearing you say why you do this and how you go about it completely changes my response right now, my feelings, how my comfortability. So you've already now just helped people, including myself, with being on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, is now you are writing the second book. What is the title of the second book?
It's called Chasing Rainbows.
Oh.
In the grief world, when you lose a baby, the next baby that lives is called your rainbow baby.
Oh.
So there's a really amazing, this is again a divinely guided when I thought, should I write, I asked God and Reich, and should I write one or two books? Do I put it all in one? I don't know if I can do that. Yeah. 2 days later, my neighbor across the street came over and said, I had the weirdest dream about you. You've written a book and you called it Chasing Rainbows. She never knew I was writing this book. We hadn't seen each other for a few weeks because it was summer break. And I just looked at her and said, I asked for a message. And you gave me the message. I'm writing a book called Reichen's Journey, and I asked, should there be a second book? And now you've told me the name of the second book. Can I use that as a title? And she said, of course you can. So it was just very...
That is amazing.
It's, I'm always divinely guided. Reichen always sends me help.
He always sends you. And that's actually where I do want to go to, because once he did... pass, which I was wondering, because I knew that I still had 100 pages to go when he passed, and I thought, oh my gosh, what's he going to write about? Like, what's going to happen here?
Right.
And I knew that you were now going to go into what this show is about, is how to heal and about life purpose. So I thought, okay, she's going to talk about Reichen's life purpose. And how did you come about? Because you really came about his life purpose in such a deep way and selfless way. To know that it was, if you could share with us, what did you come to find out that his purpose was?
What Reichen had shared with me?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, I had this strong urge again that I was going to find a medium to talk to Reichen. There was a gentleman my sisters had seen the previous summer, and in passing talking to a friend of ours, I said, I'm going to go see this gentleman. He's like, oh, you should see this other lady. And her name in the book is Jenny. And I said, oh, okay, that's perfect. So I called her, and I got in with her. I saw her on December 31st. Reichen passed away on December 12th, and I got in a little over 2 weeks later. And I just knew he would come. I knew he would talk to me. I knew he would tell me he was going to be okay and what was going on with him. It was just this knowing. And then how the book came about.
Oh my gosh, see what happened, Pamela? We're going to go to commercial, and I didn't want to get that cut off there. But
okay,
oh my gosh, I went right into that. We are going to go to commercial, but when we're back, I want to hear how Reichen got in touch with you to let you know.
Okay.
Oh my
Thanks.
Gosh. Okay.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Light on Living. We are here with Pamela LaRocque, and she is sharing her entire beautiful story about Reichen's journey. And we're just getting into that after moment. I have to take these big breaths for this show. The time where she has now, she just knows that she will, Reichen will connect from the other side. Pamela, before you go into that, I want to ask you, do you know, because you do work with angels now, is there a time frame it takes, a time length, how long it takes people to go from the physical world to the spiritual world where they can now come back and talk to us?
You know, I don't really know the answer to that. So I guess I'd have to say no. I just know that for me, the period was, you know, just over 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
And yeah. Reichen came. And I was very ready. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people, it might take them years to be able to go maybe to a crossover to talk to their baby or to talk to their loved one that's passed. And sometimes, you know, if you're not ready and you go, maybe they don't come either. It just all depends. Spirit always knows when you're ready.
Okay. That's a perfect answer.
yeah. You know, that's probably the best answer I can say. But I was, you know, I'm very open. I'm not skeptical. I know that what he'll come and he'll give me messages.
It was almost as if you had an appointment. You're like, no, I have an appointment. I'm going to meet him. He's going to talk to me. This is why we're coming.
That's actually how I felt. Exactly. I had no doubt. I was extremely calm. I was so excited. And it was so, that's one of the most important parts of my healing was knowing Reichen was with his angel. Mm. Reichen was safe. He shared with me he only wanted to, you know, live a short time. His goals were to learn about the birth and dying process, and he wanted to learn about relationships. So all of that helped me kind of shift my thought. Okay, Reichen had his life. This was about Reichen. Mm-hmm. I have to shift away from, poor me, I lost my baby boy. Mm-hmm. But that's what grief does, and you have to honor that, and you have to work through that, because those emotions are there. But I had to start changing my thought. Okay, I signed up to be his mom. Now, what can I do for me? What can I do for Caden? How do I help Caden now? Because Caden is here with me on Earth. We have to stay grounded and focused on this, even though my grief is overwhelming and overpowering at times.
And there, you know, as actually at that point of the book when you read that, and you kind of put like bookends on. You know, one person may have chosen to live 76 years. One person may choose to live 56 days. Yeah. And that really, that shifted my paradigm right there, right when you said that. And when I think about what you needed, because I this is my question too. So that was about his life, but then you have what's about your life too. You chose to be his mom and to have special meaning, you know, with Reichen for his time. And in fact, you actually got to name something after him. And I was going to ask if you wanted to share that.
What did I name after him?
Oh, the room, Reichen's room.
Oh yes. It was called the parents' room, right. At the hospital. But in the book, I called it Reichen's room. Because that's the room we got to be with him for the palliative care. Because we were air flown out to a children's hospital because there isn't a children's hospital in Saskatchewan. And that again was divinely guided. A nurse intervened and said, you can ask to leave. And yeah. If she wouldn't have told us that, Reichen could have passed away in the intensive care unit alone. Without us, because we would not have been allowed to be with him, you know, at midnight to 6 a.m. Yeah. And so I actually went to a walk in Ottawa in October to participate in their walk out there for their perinatal. They have a perinatal hospice out there because it's so important to have this space, these places for families to go where their babies are going to die, so they can be with them for every moment until they take their last breath, because that, too, is part of. That was a miracle. That was a new miracle. Okay, Reichen is going to die, but what's the new miracle? I get to spend every moment with him till he leaves.
Mm, oh, I love that you asked that question. What's the new miracle? And if people are going through this right now and they're thinking, oh, my, like nothing about this is a miracle, you know, because I could imagine me being angry, you know, like, are you kidding me? Like, this is, there's nothing good here, or, you know, we're just being upset and hurt and already full of grief. But I think that's a really good question. What is the new miracle? Mm-hmm. And as you share that about, would you like to share with us what Reichen's name means?
Sure. His name means champion. It's a perfect name for him because he was a champion. I mean, all the testing he went through, all the, his painful delivery, and, you know, dying the way, you know, he had to be taken off of life support. And so he was a champion. And he also is a teacher. I had his astrology chart read, and typically there's two or three lines in your house for what your profession will be.
Right.
And his profession was that he was to be a teacher, and he had five lines in his house for his job here on Earth. So he's meant to be a teacher.
And that's exactly what he was doing. Like,
yeah.
You actually give a whole new perspective, too, of how big of a purpose we can accomplish in a short time. So if I'm looking at, you know, look what we can do in just a short time with no skill, just our purpose, like just our very being.
Yes, it's true. And, you know, Reichen, his doctor has used him as an example with some of his medical professionals about, you know, what would you do if this was your, you know, you have a family that's come and they, you know, the child, his brain is completely damaged and they've asked to take him off life support, you know, ethically, what would you do? Like, there's just so many dynamics to that too, choosing to take your child off of life support, right? And having a doctor that supports you and is kind enough to help you, because you know there's no quality of life to be hooked up to a machine.
Yes.
When you're a baby.
Yes. And how is your family now as a whole? This is over a decade later. Like, how are you? How is everybody doing?
We're doing really good. You know, this is, Reichen had his 12th birthday in heaven. This is the first birthday of his completely at peace. I was able to smile and not be, usually the day before I'm quite anxious and upset and crying, and I was just very full, very peaceful this year. And so, you know, in my mind, for me, that my goal is complete. You know, we always celebrate his birthday with a cake and we sing happy birthday to him. And, you know, there's pictures all over our house of Reichen. We, you know, we talk about Reichen. He's a member of our family. I would say we've come full circle with the grief and trying to, you know, I guess what a normal family is that's gone through this.
Right. And this is something that you also coach and help and do energy work with others who've gone through this or going through this.
Yeah, I work with mostly women that have various issues they're going through. I actually haven't had a woman that's come to me and had energy work and counseling with the pregnancy and infant loss yet, but I know that that's coming. It's interesting. Timing is everything, and I'm just waiting for when, you know, they'll find me or I'll find them. And
I think I want to make sure
third books are done. I think it will open up a lot more.
Yes. Well, I do want to make sure everybody's invited to come find you. And so you do have the website that everybody can go to if you want to work with Pamela. It's innerstrengthhealing.ca. So that's just INNERSTRENGH. Yes, GTH healing, HEALING.ca. However, if we want to just learn about the book or which is Reichen's journey, we can always go to Pamela LaRocque, and it's PamelaLaRocque.com. So I want everybody to know about going there. You can go to your Facebook page and all that stuff too to find you. Because as you said, the Chasing Rainbows, Chasing Rainbows.
Chasing Rainbows, yeah.
Yeah. That when, now I already want to read that one, my goodness. But Pam,
that's good.
Yeah. When will that one be out?
I'm hoping it's out by October. So October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month around the world. Oh. Yeah, and October 15th is actually Awareness Day, and there's an international conference in the United States, the Pregnancy Deaths, Pregnancy Loss and Death Alliance, Infant Death Alliance Conference at the end of October. So I'm hoping that it's completed by then, and I'm also hoping to have the third book called Finding Me Again completed as well. That's kind of my goal, to have both of them done together so that people can have the third book. So the Finding Me Again is all the signs and all the guidance I've gotten to write these books and to share, and then again what I've done to help heal myself. And
I think that's the biggest thing, because even I can honestly share, and I think everybody listening will even can tell a difference in me, because I feel like I need to heal from your experience still. Like I have just so embodied this and taken it in that I kind of feel like I need that other book. I need to know where to go from here. It's shaken me up so much. But it's just because I think what you have done for me anyways, and Ryken, thank you, Ryken, for doing this, has really shown me that 56 days of life, like you could do so much in that time, that it makes me feel like I just want to do even so. I want to really take advantage of the life that I've decided to have and make sure I am doing what I'm meant to do. But I guess, do we just do it anyways? Or
yes, I agree. And that's exactly why I wrote the book. So Lisa, you said it perfectly. You know, we're meant to come here and live an amazing life and do amazing things. And grief is hard. My grief was dark. It was depressing. It was painful. I share that in the second book. I was very cynical. I was very, you know, angry, not even as much anger. The anger actually got stored within. And then I had some physical issues that I'm sharing about too, so that people are mindful of, you know, maybe it isn't just bladder issues, which is what I had, some bladder issues. It was, I was pissed off, and that's where all my anger was. I know.
Sorry.
It's Louise Hay's book, though, is Heal Your Life. And I was like, before the doctor cuts into my bladder, I'm going to learn more. And so, it was just, there's just so much you can learn to do to help yourself. But you have to start with doing, you know, self-care, self-love, and then you can have your self-worth again.
Oh, I love that. Oh, and you know what's funny? You just made me think of something. I have one of my girlfriends. She, whenever she's in a situation that's very emotional, maybe she's fighting with her boyfriend or they're having a conversation or she's nervous about something in her career or work, she is forever going pee. And like, it's like interrupted. Like she is going, no, I gotta go again. I'm like, oh my gosh, right? And so
yep.
You know what?
Yep.
It's and she does not express her emotion. So you just made me feel like maybe she's pissed off and she needs to, you know, that's her way of letting things out. So is that something you do with somebody were to connect with you and want to work through some issues? Like, how is the model? Because I still have 2 minutes. I can squeeze this on them. How you?
Yeah, I do integrated energy therapy, and it's with the archangels, and I do long distance healing. So it's over the phone, anywhere in the world. I can help heal you with the energy of the archangels, and then it's amazing. It actually gets the issues out of the tissues. It's kind of counseling through energy work, but I love it, and it really has helped me. It's helped me release, and you know, I get to vibrate higher, find more joy, find more peace, more love.
And does Ryken help you when you do this work?
Yeah, he does. There's times where you know, he is there guiding. It all depends, and mostly it's the person I'm working with guides.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because each, Ryken's your guide. Do you think of him as a guide or do you think of him as your baby?
You know, he's always going to be my baby. So I always think of him as my baby. Now I've kind of put him on charge of being our guardian angel to the family. You know,
right.
I'm always like, hey, you're on. You need to take care of Caden.
You know, right.
He's out and about and I'm not there.
Right.
I'm always mindful of making sure he's doing that. I'm sure he's like, I've got other things I'm doing over here, Mom, but okay.
Right.
You know?
He's like, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's so sweet. So really what's next for you is, yes, to wrap up, or to finish writing and get the next two books out if we're planning on an October birthday here.
Yeah. I'm turning 44 this year. So that was my goal, to have them both done by that date. My birthday is October 20th, so that would be great. And then I'll be guided. I just trust in the moment, and I try really hard to just live in the moment, be mindful of being happy and joyful and loving the people that are in your life, because you truly don't know how long you are here.
Yes, I think actually that's the message. That, there you go. That nailed it for me, in fact, too. So everybody listening, whether you're pregnant or you have lost a baby, or you just looking at your own life and wondering what your purpose is to, you know, we do not know how long we have, but whatever we do have, it is purposeful. And we want to really honor that. And Pamela, I want to thank you so much for being here with me today and really making, holding this space very safe for me, as this was like really, really emotional. So just thank you for being such a beautiful light.
Well, thank you so much. And again, thank you for being, helping me spread the message. And, you know, it's a gift to get to say Rykin's name and talk about him. So I adore you, Lisa. So thank you so much for today. And could you just let everybody know that's listening what your foundation goes to? Because my goal was that Rykin's book would help heal children around the world that are alive.
Yes, absolutely. And I can repost this too, but it is for Om Times, Om Times Magazine and Radio, but their mother, their sister, huge, everything is Humanity Healing, which does help the albino children. And we go in and we save them from human trafficking. And this is so important because every life absolutely does matter. So let's post more on that on my Facebook. Come to everybody, Lisa Berry, Berry. And we shall all connect again this Thursday. Okay, until then, thank you everybody so much. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you.